Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Tea and coffee will be served between our morning services and after our evening service. Pastoral news. Anne Mackay remains in hospital. Maggie Arnold is unwell. And it's lovely to see Will here this morning. This week, the GCSE exam results were given, and Jenna Truick has done very well and will begin her A-level studies soon. And please remember all students as they begin their new academic year. But students need teachers, and I've been asked to let you know to remember Rachel Bartlett in your prayers, who's starting a new career as a teacher this week. And finally, Ray.
Two things. In 2 weeks' time, on the Saturday the 8th, we're having a quiz in aid of Christian Aid. So please come along, otherwise Richard here is going to be very sad and lonely reading questions out to himself. So we need lots of you to help on that. And it's for a very good cause, as we said, it's for Christian Aid. And with the last weeks, we mentioned it briefly last week, Christian Aid have got an emergency appeal for Kerala in India at the minute for the floods. So what I'm going to do is I've got some envelopes here. There's some envelopes already at the back. If anybody would like to give anything for this for the emergency appeal, then please pop something in the envelope and I'll get it to Christian Aid. Thank you.
And finally, Martin, where are you?
Yes, it's good. So this is one of those moments where you all look in terror, thinking I'm coming your way. Today we're remembering it's not a birthday, so you can relax if you've got a significant birthday. It's not a significant anniversary, so you can relax if you've got one of those. This is a rather different event, and today the finger points at Leslie. So come on up, you come. Up. So as you all know, Leslie is going on an ambitious walk starting tomorrow from Surbiton to Scotland, and we wanted to send her on her way with a blessing. I've asked a few people to come up and join me. We'll lay our hands on her. And the blessing is coming up on the screen. I think it's also in the service sheets. So if you could all come and we'll join in blessing her. So let's say together, may the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your shoulders. May your feet be protected from blisters. May your joints and muscles keep strong. May a welcome be found at every overnight stop, and each day be a new walk with God. May the beauty of nature surround you. May praise of God be on your tongue. May any who walk with you be a blessing, and the journey be full of joy. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.
Amen.
There's
thank
a copy
you.
Of
thank
it
you,
to
you,
take
you.
With
you.
Thank you. Let's join to worship God. We rise each morning and make ready to face a new day. So let us come as God's people to be ready, to be brave in God's service. Let us come with the Lord and worship God now. We join to sing, Christ be our light. We join to pray. Let us pray. God of power and strength, You are more than enough to meet our every need, and you want only the best for us. We know that our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world will gather, and some of them put their lives on the line to worship you, Lord Jesus. And we know from the scriptures that Paul didn't let the fact that he was physically in chains stop him from serving you. We confess that sometimes we have chains of a different kind. We have been sloppy in our preparation for coming to this act of worship today. We have not listened to you in the soft whisper of your voice. We have had narrow expectations of how you would be and who you would lead us to. Forgive those chains of prejudice and ignorance, Lord our God. The Lord our God is generous, and God's instinct is to forgive us. Our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, well, I remembered the Lord's Prayer, but forgot the psalm. Would you like to put the psalm up, please? So we say together, the Lord watches over the righteous and listens to their cries. But God opposes those who do evil, so that when they die, they are soon forgotten. The righteous call to the Lord, and God listens. God rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. God saves those who have lost all hope. Good people suffer many troubles, but the Lord saves them from them all. The Lord preserves them completely. Not one of their bones is broken. Evil will kill the wicked. Those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord will save God's people. Those who go to God for protection will be spared. Which microphone would you like to use? Hand one? We already know it works. Come and join me.
Can you hear me? Yes? Good. Right. So, how have the holidays been going? Had a good time? Nearly finished? Are you getting your things ready for school? No? Oh dear, you'll have to hurry up. Do you have to take things to school every day? Do you have a school bag that has to have things in it? What sort of things do you have to have?
A pencil.
Only one. Anybody else got things that you put in your bag?
Take your lunch.
Yeah. They take lunch, the important things. Anyway, lots of people have lots of things that they keep with them all the time. And I bet if you ask some of the grown-ups in this congregation what they've got with them, in their pockets or their bags, they've got things that they always have. And I'm going to show you one or two of mine. I've got my phone. Surprise, surprise. I've got a purse. One you might not expect. I've got some Tic Tacs. It's a big one. It's nearly empty. I've got to go shopping because I like them and my grandchildren like them too. I've got a spare shopping bag. So if I run out, I don't have to pay 10p for a plastic one. When I've unfurled it, I promise you it is a shopping bag. And I keep a little notebook in case I need to write down things that I've got to remember. So it's quite a lot to carry around, and it varies sometimes depending on the time of year. This summer, I've carried quite a lot of this around. What's that? Sun cream. And what does that protect me from? From the sun or from getting sunburnt. And if it's cold in the winter, I might take those to protect me from the cold. And we've been looking, changing the subject slightly, looking in the Bible at some of the letters that Peter wrote to lots of people in churches at the time, telling them what they should do and how they should live. And one of the things he said was that there are some things that we should keep with us all the time. And we're going to go and learn a bit more about those when we go out to the hall.
Going to join to sing, Give Me Joy in My Heart. Keep me praising. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me joy in my heart, keep me praising. Keep me praising till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart, keep me loving. Give me peace in my heart, I pray. Give me peace in my heart, keep me loving. Keep me loving till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me love in my heart, keep me serving. Give me love in my heart, I pray. Give me love in my heart, serving till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. We have two readings. The first is from Ephesians, which we have been making our way through. Having the call of God for us to live wisely and to live well in a difficult world is outlined by Paul, and his hearers could well have felt overwhelmed. But Paul explains how God invests in ensuring that we can live up to God's call, and the image that he uses, which explains all the things that Steve was talking about, is to look at the armor that a soldier would carry with them all the time and then uses those as symbols and metaphors. Finlay Forbes will read this passage to us.
It's interesting that the words, the language used in the Good News Bible bears an astonishing resemblance to the language that an officer would use briefing his troops before a mission or an exercise. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So, put on God's armor now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks, and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So, stand ready with truth as a belt tight around your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. And pray also for me, that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret. For the sake of this gospel, I am an ambassador, though now I am in prison. Pray that I may be bold in speaking about the gospel as I should.
And then to return to the passage that we have been looking at in John of Jesus and bread and wine, and what does that mean? As others depart, because they find Jesus' teaching just too hard, Peter declares that the 12 have nowhere to go, for Jesus has the words of eternal life. And more than that, Jesus has shown himself to be the Holy One of God. And Georgina Forbes will read this passage to us.
Reading John 6, verses 56 to 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This then is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread that your ancestors ate. They later died, but those who eat this bread will live forever. Jesus said this as he taught in the synagogue in Capernaum. Many of his followers heard this and said, "This teaching's too hard. Who can listen to it?" Without being told, Jesus knew that they were grumbling about this. So he said to them, "Does this make you want to give up? Suppose then that you should see the Son of Man go back up to the place where he was before. What gives life is God's Spirit. Human power is of no use at all. The words I have spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit. Yet some of you do not believe." Jesus knew from the very beginning who were the ones that would not believe and which one would betray him. And he added, "This is the very reason I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father makes it possible for him to do so." Because of this, many of Jesus' followers turned back and would not go with him anymore. So he asked the 12 disciples, "And you, would you also like to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And now we believe and know that you are the Holy One who's come from God."
So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this teaching that Jesus offers about bread, we are used to it. We have heard it many times. And the earliest hearers found it as very hard. How did it relate to Moses and the manna in the wilderness? Surely, surely, surely Jesus wasn't saying that he was greater than Moses. And they begin to grumble. And it is no wonder with a teaching like that and people being literalistic that people thought that the early church were cannibalistic. And that's one of the things that led to persecution. So those who hear this tough teaching begin to grumble. And after some other teaching about the Holy Spirit, many who had been following Jesus reject him. The pain of rejection is something that God knows about. If you have ever felt rejected, people leaving you when what you said in love has made them feel uncomfortable, then you know that God knows it too. And Simon Peter comes in as the wise hero of the hour. They are asked if he's going to leave, and to reply, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Or to quote the message, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God." So I want to pull three strands from this. The first one is that rejection by society is not a sign that you're away from the will of God. That experience was the experience of Jesus too. And for the church, we should expect that if we are trying to live by the truth of Jesus, then our truth in society will at times be unpalatable. More is expected of us. It is not enough that we should be a gathering where people are merely polite and smile and nod at each other. We are interested in helping each other shape our lives modeled by Jesus. We are interested in helping each other to be holier, to be bolder, to be braver, to be kinder. Although, let's be clear, I do have to say, a bit of civility in church life sometimes is lacking and essential. So we are interested in more because our aim is to change the world. And we can't do all of it. Our aim is to make the world an easier place to be good in. That's our aim. We can't do the whole world, but guess what? We can do a tiny bit of Kingston. The second strand I would pull from this teaching is that it is tough and it is difficult and it is demanding to understand the truths that are ours. That, brothers and sisters, is a given. For some reason, people seem to think that Christianity, you can just and you've got it. They seem to think that they can simply understand it without using the brains that God has given us. It requires, to understand it, requires effort. So people say, oh, I don't read the Bible because it doesn't make any sense to me. Of course it doesn't make any sense to you if you don't give it the time it needs and get the books out and look online and study it. It's a lazy attitude and it, frighteningly, is the close cousin of fundamentalism. They're both the same. One says, I will not study it because I find it a wee bit demanding. And one says, I will not study it. I'll just swallow it all wholesale and I won't look at what it means or look at the background or who said what to whom. I'll just regurgitate it. They're both nonsense. It requires that we study it. The third strand I would pull from this teaching is that Jesus is the one who has the words of eternal life. There is no other offer for us. And I want to say to you that I do not believe that for most Christians, if you look at their lives, they actually believe that to be true. Aren't you glad I'm going away? If you actually look at the time that they spent on other commentators as opposed to studying the Word of God, I do not believe that they believe it to be true. Lord, to whom shall we go? Easy. You look at your newspaper. Or you look at the screens and you look at your favorite commentator. Or you look at some common sense old school culture. Do we actually shape our lives? However tough it is to understand what Jesus is saying, do we actually shape our lives by the truth that we cannot get elsewhere? You have the words of eternal life. Or is it that there are people who say, yes, 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 Jesus does have the words of eternal life. Ha-ha, eternal life. So what we're talking about is what happens when we die. We're not talking about what happens now. We're not talking about stuff that might shape the way that we live life, how our politics and how our business should be done. And then even worse, bring the stuff that people learn in business and politics and try to bring that into the life of the church and how the life of the church should be run. More is better, bigger is excellent, money is to be hoarded, and the exciting and the new and the flash must dominate. The problem that underlines all that is an Enlightenment idea which says, yes, of course, we will be tolerant of you, people of faith, but your religion is about what you do on a Sunday morning, or maybe Saturday, or maybe Friday. That's what it is. And it's private. My religion is private. No. Our religion, as a follower of Jesus, shapes every single choice that we make in every single aspect of our lives. It's fundamental. And that sort of nonsense that says that your Christianity is just about what you do on a Sunday morning is the nonsense that got members of the Nazi Party thinking that they can do all sorts of terrible things during the Second World War, all sorts of atrocities, and then gather to worship on a Sunday morning. It impacts everything. So the other heresy that's in the back is the picture of God in this. It's the regular, Unitarian, almost folk religion, humanistic view that says that God is, yeah, God is around, but God is, to quote Bette Midler, watching us from a distance. As opposed to the Trinitarian view that said that God is present here and now through the Spirit, has modeled life for us in Jesus, as well as being involved in creation, that God cares passionately for who we are and all about us. And it is not that God is sort of out there somewhere, basically doing the crossword. No, the Christian view is that God travels with us through time and is inside us and it's all around us. All of this, brothers and sisters, is big, serious, grown-up Christianity. And who on earth do we think we are if we have any notion that we can follow and we can understand all this stuff from an hour on a Sunday morning and that's it? We are people who need to be praying, to be studying the scriptures, and to be learning from one another. And that is why we need the passages and the equipment like mentioned in Ephesians. The whole armor of God, because it is tough to live fully by our truth. We cannot do it on our own. Who do we think we are? Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon that God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Let us pray. Lord, to whom should we go? You have the words of eternal life. Help us. Help us together. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, All My Hope on God is Founded. Interesting, we have two requests for prayer which are a bit challenging for me as a Protestant Christian, because we, in our tradition, we don't believe in praying for the dead. It's not in our tradition. However, we had two requests to pray for the dead, which we will not do, but I will change them slightly. So let us pray. Request comes from the death of a person called Marius, who died Friday or Saturday night, to pray for his friends who will miss him and those affected by his death. And to ask, Lord our God, that you in your mercy would receive him. And also the death of somebody called Lena. And this person's hope that there would be reunion with her husband, Noel, for she has lived as a widow for many years. And we pray for those who have asked us to pray. We have been asked to pray for Rachel Bartlett, starting a new life as a teacher. Pray for all those heading to school for the first time. Children. Teaching staff. And those who will be heading to school in a new role. The new head, the new deputy, the new senior teacher. Lord, from these scriptures, we hold up before you those who suffer for their faith. For those who go to spread your word in places which means that they are at danger. And we in this community particularly pray for the hidden church in North Korea. And Paul speaks to us as a man in chains, a man in prison. We pray for all those who are in prison and for those whose job it is to look after them and keep them safe and maybe even educate them so that when they come out, they may be rehabilitated into relationships with their families and into meaningful work. We pray for those who feel bound by the chains of poverty, those who are overwhelmed by anxiety about money. Those whose chains are about expectation because of disability, and those whose chains are illness. And those whose chains are sorrow. We pray for ourselves at those times when we feel vulnerable. Lord, may they and may we be built up in your love and your strength. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer our sacrifice of praise and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn we join to sing, forth in thy name, O Lord, I go. Many as we are, let us stand and pray. Most mighty God, send us out now to be faithful to our calling in you. We are a people of prayer, fully equipped to bring your hope for the future to those around us. Help us to stand firm against evil and wrong and to be visible as a power of good. Lord, we pray. Amen. Oh, what have you got? What have you been up to? Oh, nice belt. You've got yours on. You haven't got yours on, you too, because you're a bit cooler. Oh, but yours look great.
This morning, we've rather rashly tried to talk about the whole armour of God and the qualities that encourages us to have. So instead of making the whole armour, we've just made the belt, and we've written on them some of the things that the emotions and the feelings and the qualities we should have. So if you like later, if you like to come and have a look, or perhaps the children will come and show you, and we hope they will remember what they say.
Brilliant. Thank you. So let's close by saying the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.